Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet, AM 570, LA Sports, the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour at 866-987-2570. You give us your best 30-second take, you'll have an opportunity to win a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse, over 140 menu items, 50 craft beers, the one-of-a-kind Pizookie dessert, a lot to get to today. Now, the question is going to be this, Rodney. I'll tell you the question off the top, because normally we hold it till the end of the segment. In a word, I want you to tell me your feeling about the Dodgers. In a word. So you can start noodling that now.
I'll noodle that for a minute.
Okay. Let me give you some words.
I'm going to noodle that.
All right, because we're not the panic people. I don't believe in that. I know Petros and Matt are the panic brothers. I don't panic. You know, I knew a guy at one time, and he was head of security at Staples Center. And you'd go up to him, and this was his standard line. Somebody would go, I have a problem. And he would say the same thing every time. There are no problems. There are only situations. And we can figure out the situation. So I kind of look at it like that for the Dodgers. We got a situation, and we got to figure it out. Let me give you some words.
That was my dad, by the way.
Was it?
That's my dad. I mean, everyone that like knew my dad, older, he coached for a long, long time. Everybody came in contact with him. He was a like not a half full guy. He was all the way full to the rim guy. It was like, you know, there's always a solution to the problem, and there's never really bad situations. There's, you know, there's situations that you deal with, and there's always a solution to it. So that's the way he felt too, as so well.
You just figure it out.
He figured it out.
Let me give you some words now. Given where the Dodgers are, and let's not sugarcoat it, it was horrific over the weekend. Yeah. I mean, they lost four games to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And really, after the game, I started looking at the standings, and I realized, and I want to bite my tongue for saying it, the Dodgers have one of the worst records, not in the National League West, in baseball. In baseball. Not just the National League West. Baseball. That's where they're at right now. Let me give you some words. Alarmed. Are you alarmed? Are you perturbed? Are you dismayed? Are you agitated? Are you anxious? Are you hysterical? Are you flummoxed?
Flummoxed.
Are you exasperated? Are you freaking out, man? You're freaking out.
You did that with jazz hands.
That's right. You got to go with the jazz hands if you say freaking out, man. Those are some words to describe the feeling people have about the Dodgers now. Let's be abundantly honest about this. Saturday was an embarrassment. And it's kind of been the way the season has gone at times. Two moments in that Saturday game. First of all, for a reason that no one could try to figure out, Dave Roberts came out and took Ross Stripling out of the game.
Stripling.
Ross. Who's Ross Stripling?
He's related to Rod Stripling.
Yeah.
Twilight Zone.
Rod Stripling.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Took Ross Stripling. Well, maybe he would have left Stripling in, that's but he took Stripling out.
But that's what we're dealing right now with the Dodgers is Twilight Zone.
Right. That's a good point. So
we're in a dimension that you can't get out.
He takes Stripling out. And God bless him, we put in the French guy. Let's be fair.
Chagois.
Yeah.
The French guy.
Where did the French guy come from?
Oh, the French guy.
They put in the French guy. And, of course, it goes
silent. No disrespect to the French.
Or the French guy. We. But they put that guy in. It goes south.
Say we.
And
ooh la la.
Here's what happened. Dave Roberts explained that decision.
Ross pitched really well, but this is the first time Ross went into the sixth inning. So six up and downs, the first time he's done that, he hasn't got out of the fourth inning. You know, previously we're trying to build him up, gets up to 79 pitches, more than he's ever thrown, and you get a guy that you feel comfortable can get Suarez out, and very unfortunate.
All right, so the French guy didn't work. So you move on. Now you say to yourself, we got Cody Bellinger up. The count is 3-0. Now, look, I'm just saying from my days in Little League, one of the first things you're told, 3-0, you got to take that pitch.
You got to take, especially you're down two runs.
Right.
In the bottom of the ninth.
Right.
You're down two runs, right? So 3-0, you got to have a base runner. That is the number one thing that should be on your mind when you step up to the plate. Yeah, if you get your pitch, you're going to hit it. But you get to 3-0, base runner is the most important thing because it brings up the tying run to the plate.
All right, 3-0, so you're going to take. Yes. No, no.
Yes.
You're not going to
yes,
take.
Yes, you are, Fred.
Well, not necessarily. No,
Fred,
no.
You got to take.
Well, I understand, but there's something else going on. Here's what I'm going to try to do. All I do is swing from my heels and try to hit the ball 400 feet. So in this one situation, what I'm supposed to take, I'm going to fool everybody. I'm going to lay down a bunt. I'm going to bunt. That's my plan. I'm going to bunt right back to the pitcher is how I'm going to bunt. You're out. Here's Cody explaining that decision.
Just try to get the tying run to the plate there. Just didn't execute. Had the take sign. Knew fastball was coming. Done it so many times before, so I thought it was going to be an easy bunt. Just didn't execute. And, yeah, it's just bad luck. And if I could do it again, I wouldn't, you know. But at that moment, I thought it was a good play. Knew a heater was coming, and those were the easiest pitches to bunt.
You know, you like at least he had a thought process behind it, but it speaks to what is going on with the club. Overall, it just speaks to what is happening.
Yeah.
You don't bunt then.
Well,
you probably don't bring in the French guy.
Well, on the bunt situation, the even more glaring that it didn't work out and went right back to the pitcher is that he was given the take sign.
Right.
He was given the take sign.
Right.
Take the pitch.
Right.
And he overruled that individually.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't. He took the pitch and bunted. He did exactly what the sign told him to do. I'll take the pitch and bunt it.
Which compounded the whole situation. And I get it. You know, your competitors, you want to make the change. You want to be the guy that turns it all around. But when things are not going your way, you got to trust the process. You got to trust, you know, the method in which your manager and the team is instructing you to do, which is take that pitch. And he just went beyond that. So it just made a bad situation worse.
All right, so a lot of people are blaming Dave Roberts. It's his fault.
Right.
I mean, the guy went from being the manager of the year, leading the team to 104 wins, getting to one game of winning the World Series, and now, of course, he's a bum and he should be fired because he obviously doesn't know what he's doing. That's
right.
What people are saying.
How dare him give Cody Bellinger the take sign?
What are you thinking about?
What are you thinking?
I don't want to go into the French guy. But anyway, I'll tell you, it is not Dave Roberts. It is not. Do not point the finger at Dave Roberts. But I'll tell you who to point the finger at. Andrew Friedman.
Mm.
Point the finger at Andrew Friedman. And do you want to know why?
I do.
I'm saying it?
I do.
Because Andrew Friedman said point the finger at me. This is my fault. I am to blame for this. Andrew Friedman actually said that. As a matter of fact, Bill Shaken of the Times, I don't know how he got it, but he got it. He cornered Andrew Friedman. Talked to him, I think, this morning.
Yeah.
We're going to have Bill on in the next segment, and he will fill us in.
Oh, he got deep with Andrew.
Yeah, he did. So he will be on, and he'll tell us what Andrew had to say. But your question for BJ's today at 866-987-2570. So pull out your thesaurus. What is the one word to describe what is going on? Shall I give the words one more time, Rodney?
Yeah, just words? No one can come up with their own.
Well, no, you can come up with your own, but if you want to steal one of these.
Perplexed.
You're going perplexed?
Yeah.
All right, that was on the list.
Oh, good, good. Okay, good.
Perplexed was on the list.
All right, that's my word.
No, it wasn't. Perturbed was on the list.
Perturbed. Perplexed.
Yeah. I'll give you, all right, perplexed is an example.
Okay.
Alarmed, perturbed, dismayed, agitated, anxious, hysterical, exasperated, freaking out, man. Sum it up and let us know.
All right, where are you? What do you fall on this, Fred?
Everyone.
Between perturbed and freaking out.
I'm everyone.
All of them.
But I'm not panicked.
No.
I'm not panicked,
no.
But I'm all the other words. 866-987-2570. Your best 30-second take gets you a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. Bottom of the hour, we will make you the smartest person in the room. We'll start sprinkling the calls in. When we come back, the man that spoke with Andrew Friedman. You'll hear what the Dodger president had to say. It's Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete at AM 570 LA Sports. I can't think of a better way to start the week than that. Thank you.
Sometimes you just got to speak from the heart, Fred.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And just know I feel the same way.
And I do know that.
All right.
I do.
One word. Describe the Dodger situation. Somebody's getting a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. Chewy in Long Beach, you're on AM570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
I think the one word that can describe the Dodgers this year is atrocious. They can't score runs when their ace is on the hill. And then when we do put up five or six, we're giving up eight. These guys are not playing small ball. I believe it was a big detriment when we got rid of Adrian Gonzalez, not necessarily from a player standpoint, but from a continuity, chemistry, cohesiveness standpoint. Utley's doing a great job, but Utley needs to step up. That Long Beach Poly boy's got to take charge of these kids and show them what it takes to play winning baseball.
Chewy, appreciate it. Nice take. Good start.
Atrocious, Chewy said. Atrocious.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not far off.
Art in Ontario, you're on AM570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Yes, I think we're regretful. Regretful we didn't do what we had to do to sign Zach Greinke 2 years ago. As a result, it already blew us to NLCS 2 years ago when we were at game four at Dodger Stadium up 2-1. Could have had him going to the mound to put us up 3-1. Made us reach last year for Yu Darvish, who basically cost us the World Series. We could have had Greinke pitching game seven. And now this year, as a result, Kershaw and Jansen are completely spent.
All right, Art. Thanks.
Boy, is the sky gray right now?
The thing I'm impressed with.
Gloom and gloom.
Everybody has a word so far, and they can back it up.
Yeah, they do.
I like that. John in Los Angeles, go ahead.
Arrogant, okay? Let's start with last season's World Series, starting Yu Darvish in game seven. We all saw what he did, okay, in the game before that. Okay, and this is even more atrocious. Parking Yasmani Grandal on the bench in the World Series for Austin Barnes. Did they forget that the most important function of the catcher is to guide the pitchers and which pitches they're going to throw? Okay? Not Sonny Morrow. I mean, we got the deepest pocketbook in the league. Arrogant.
Yeah, but here's the problem. Thanks for the take, John, but you used two words. You said arrogant and atrocious. See, I was actually listening. It was only one word.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, Austin Barnes was the hottest hitter in baseball.
Yeah.
At the end of the season.
Yeah.
So you can't keep him out of the lineup. And Yasmani was struggling. I get what you're saying, you know, catchers and rapport and calling pitches and all that kind of stuff, but you can't take that bat out of the lineup.
All right, I'll give you one word right now. Money.
And answer the phone! Somebody calls you. Unknown number. Block number. Jack Rogan may call you.
He very well may. He's here today.
Hey, somebody got to answer the phone. That's the only way we put a grand in your hand. Answer the phone.
All right, well, keep sprinkling your calls in. Now, let's bring on the man to talk to Andrew Friedman this morning. Bill Shaken of the Times. Bill, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so you got the answers from the man himself. You communicated with Andrew Friedman about what is going on with the Dodgers. Before we get to your interview with Andrew, what are your thoughts on the situation and what has to happen?
Well, I don't really have, you know, any sort of insightful answer more than they have to start playing better. I don't think at eight games out in the middle of May they're out of the race by any means, but there's nothing that we've seen over the past couple weeks on the field that would lead you to believe that they're in the race by any means either. They're, you know, not hitting with any consistency. The starting pitchers are either hurt or ineffective. The bullpen's been awful this year. There are a lot of things we got to turn around, and I remember when Corey Seager went down and everybody said, go get Manny Machado. And notwithstanding the fact of that kind of giveaway prospect trade is not what the Dodgers like to do, even if the Dodgers had Manny Machado today, they'd still have all these other issues. They just have one better hitter. And until the rest of the team turns it around, I'm not sure that they're one player away.
Yeah, I agree. There's more going on than just one player. But let's get into it then. You sat down with Andrew Friedman. And he took the blame. He fell on the sword. And so what do you think he meant by that? And how much is he really putting it on himself as opposed to just being on the field play?
Well, you hear from a lot of fans, and it's sort of natural because the field manager is the guy you see most often. Hey, are the Dodgers going to make a move with Dave Roberts? You know, you always hear you can't fire 25 players, but you can fire the manager. And the team that swept the Dodgers this weekend, the Reds, a few weeks ago, they fired their manager because the team wasn't playing as well as the front office thought it should be, and they've actually played better under the new manager. What Andrew Friedman was trying to say is at this point, he hasn't thought about making a change with the manager, and to the extent that there's blame to be spread for the Dodgers, again, at this point, he said, bring it on me. It's my fault.
Yeah, and I thought that was a good position to take, but here's the other side of it. considering this is a collaborative effort every single night, if you fire Dave Roberts, you're in essence firing yourself because everybody is involved in these decisions.
Well, right. I mean, this isn't the management of Tommy Lasorda, where the manager was the most powerful guy in the organization, and he made all the decisions and decided not only who was batting third that night, but who was going to the minor leagues and who they were going to trade for. Those days are long over. I mean, the front office clearly runs things at Dodger Stadium, and that's not to say that Dave Roberts is some sort of puppet, because he's not, but the decisions are now made in the front office. And to fire a manager, to me, would only seem to hold up more of a mirror in the front office, because he's implementing a team that has players that you provided to him.
No, absolutely. It is a collective effort. And so when you talk to him, was the concern more about the bullpen, or was it about the lack of run production? Because to me, the bullpen is what it is. And they were great last year. They're struggling this year. But the lack of run production is the most glaring thing to me that the Dodgers got to figure out a way to fix.
Well, I think I would actually go the other way in that score. I don't know that the offense is the biggest concern right now. The Dodgers have scored more runs than any other team in the National League West right now, even with their injuries. They've got pretty much nothing out of third base all year, and they're getting Justin Turner back, at least they expect to, the next time they play tomorrow. So you go from zero to an all-star third baseman, that should help. They really got nothing out of right field all year, but Yasiel Puig, after some time on the disabled list, came back at his first home run of the year yesterday. So I think they see some hope there. The bullpen, I just don't know. I mean, Kenley Jansen has turned it around to the point where you think he's going to be, you know, if not the Kenley Jansen of the past few years, close enough. But boy, beyond that, I mean, is there anybody that the fans are like, you know, we really want to see coming out of the bullpen? And the Dodgers have been great the past 2 years about finding guys that nobody's heard of. And remember, Brandon Morrow, who was the setup man extraordinaire last fall, he was in the minor leagues this time last year. So will they find somebody? Probably. But I thought it was interesting that Andrew Friedman said, we're going to try and get those guys turned around. But, you know, if not, we might have to make a trade, because I think that's the most logical place for them to go get someone.
Yeah, and if, in fact, we're with Bill Shaken of the Times, Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports, if, in fact, they go out and make a move and they add salary, you asked Friedman about adding salary, exceeding the tax. I thought the answer he gave was pretty much, well, you know, we have a lot of respect for ownership, and ownership has never really put any restraints on us. But it wasn't as if he gave that, we're definitely going to do that. Does that make sense?
You know, actions speak louder than words. And the actions from the Dodgers all winter was about lowering the payroll. And I know there are fans who will say, well, my ticket prices have gone up and my cable bill has gone up. But you know what? The Dodgers owners also put a lot of money into the team during the early years. They lost a lot of money because they wanted to try and rebuild the farm system and the major league team at the same time. Well, the bills sort of come due for that. And I understand the fans' frustration, but I sort of understand the ownership point of view. And then Andrew's the guy who's caught in the middle because, hey, we've all got bosses, right? And when your boss says, in this case, cut the payroll, that's what they're going to do.
Hey, Bill, you think the expectations this year, coming into this year after the World Series last year, were a little bit too lofty and too high? And people expected too much, because if you look last year and the run that they went on, the games that they won, the close games, the come from behind wins, it's just the role that they had. There's no way they could have sustained that. So what I'm asking, I guess, is this team as good as people think they are, or is it just that they've come back to reality?
Oh, I think it's somewhere in the vast middle. The Dodgers won 104 games last year, which was more games than any team in Los Angeles history had ever won. So I certainly don't think you'd expect to match that. But when you looked at what the team did in the offseason, they said, you know what, we're not going to maybe bring in a lot of guys, but we're not really letting a lot of guys go either. They let Yu Darvish go, which, you know, right now looks like a pretty prudent move.
It was a prudent move when they let him go too, Bill.
Yeah.
It was a good move then as well.
Yeah. You know, a couple relievers. You know, hey, we always pull a couple relievers out of our hat every year here. They thought they had a good enough team. And I don't know that we've seen that whole team together yet this year. And frankly, with Corey Seager out for the year, we're not going to. So is it going to be a good enough team this year? You know, we don't know. I think the thing to watch probably more than anything, you can pick up a reliever pretty cheaply in trade. Maybe Turner coming back and Puig coming off the DL. And, you know, even Logan Forsyth might contribute a few hits here when he comes back next week. But you've got right now, Hyunjin Ryu's out till after the All-Star break. Clayton Kershaw, we don't know when he's going to start again. We don't know when Rich Hill's going to start again. Your best pitcher right now in the starting rotation is Walker Buehler, who the Dodgers are committed to limiting his innings this year, which means he might not be available for the whole year. That an area needs to get shored up a little bit, and I'm not sure how they're going to do that.
Let me share this with you, Bill, because I have the crystal ball. Many people don't realize that, but I am somewhat of a savant. And I can look into the future, and here's what I see. If they don't turn this around, because it would definitely be horribly disappointing to the fan base, given the way they performed in past years. If they don't turn it around, here's what's going to happen. They are going to open that checkbook during the offseason, and every single free agent will be in play, including Bryce Harper.
Ooh.
The thing they don't want to do is the thing they might end up having to do. What do you think about that?
I think this winter is going to be fascinating because when the Dodgers were making the moves that they made last winter, and it was very clear that the big move that they made, they trade to get Matt Kemp back, was not actually a trade for Matt Kemp, although that, frankly, has been one of the best deals of the offseason because Kemp's been terrific. But it was a trade for accounting purposes. The Dodgers wanted to save money on payroll and not have to pay a luxury tax. And the sort of premise of that was, okay, if we don't spend the money this year, we will have more money to spend next year when we're not stuck with the kind of luxury tax penalties that we would have been this year. Whether they're actually going to do that, I don't know. Whether it's more likely if they finish 20 games out of first place, I don't know. You'd like to think so. But, of course, they'd like to think they're not going to finish 20 games out.
Bill, thanks for the insight. We appreciate it. And great job getting Andrew Friedman today.
All right. Take care, guys.
You too. There he goes, Bill Shakin of the LA Times. He had the man today. Give him credit.
Yeah, I mean, he got the answers, and it was interesting. That's what leaders do. They fall on the sword, man. They take the blame, and they'll take the heat and all that kind of stuff. But is it enough?
Well, I don't know. How many times can you fall on the sword?
I don't know. How many lives you got?
Hopefully many lives so the Dodgers can turn it around. We're going to take more of your calls. Hang tight. Hang tight. This Friday, Hollywood Park Casino says, come on down, join Big Game James Worthy, Rodney, and myself for a live broadcast from noon to 2 at the Rays Lounge, located in the all-new Hollywood Park Casino. Stop by for your chance to take a photo and get an autograph. Who is the smartest person in the room?
Is it real?
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Or fake news?
Fake.
Joining us today to compete against Rodney Pete in Real or Fake, from the University of Arizona,
Wildcats,
Calabasas native,
bear down,
major in broadcasting, Sasha Drotti. Sasha, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Are you Sasha, excited?
Are you excited?
Very excited.
All right.
I'm ready.
Okay.
You ready?
Ready.
You understand. You're competing with Rodney.
Oh, I understand.
All right. Oh, she
I know that. It's at stake.
She sounded very confident, Fred.
Yeah, but
I understand.
You've beaten many down.
Yes, I have. Never lost. Never lost.
You've lost.
Oh, I know.
You have lost.
That's right. I have.
Let's begin. Bounce house safety back in spotlight after boy blown onto California highway. A 9-year-old boy suffered minor injuries after the bounce house was violently sent airborne and struck a car, authorities said. Strong winds were being blamed for sending the inflatable structure airborne Saturday afternoon from a residential neighborhood north of San Bernardino. Bounce house blown onto the highway. Rodney, is that real or fake?
That's so out of control that it's got to be real. That a bounce house, because people don't secure those things. You know, they just get them, and sometimes they get them from Nikki down the street, who's not, you know, bonded.
Yeah, well, have a license. I've heard that about Nikki.
Yeah, he doesn't have a license, so right. He just puts up the bounce house. And so it's not secure. So I'm going to go real on that one. So crazy, I'm going to go real.
Sasha.
You know, I think I'm going to have to go fake on that one. It doesn't really sound too real to me. I don't see how a bounce house could just fly in the air.
So you're going fake?
I'm going fake.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I dance when I win. Wow. Just so you know, I dance in between.
All right, you ready for the next one?
I'm ready.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I thought I was ready, but I guess we'll see.
See?
Dodgers ambidextrous pitcher Pat Venditti considers pitching just right-handed after giving up home run to Joey Votto. The Dodgers promoted ambidextrous pitcher Pat Venditti from AAA Oklahoma City last week. After he gave up a home run to the Reds' Joey Votto yesterday pitching left-handed and was asked about it after the game, he said, "I have had more success pitching right-handed this year. Maybe I should consider pitching right-handed full-time." Sasha, is that real or fake?
I'm going to go real.
You're going to say real?
Sounds like a real story.
Okay, so basically he struggled from one side and now he's going to stick with the other. You're going real.
Yeah, I'm gonna go real on this one.
Very good. Rodney?
I'm hoping it's fake because I don't want him to have one bad outing and decide I'm going to give up on being ambidextrous and pitching both my left and my right because he gave up a home run to Votto. Please tell me that's not the guy that we got signed up to come up and pitch. So I'm going fake. Please don't say that. Please be fake.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
Sasha.
I'm not doing too well here.
Come on. U of A. That big Arizona education.
Yeah.
Bear down, baby. Woo. Bear down.
Now let's go. Here's the next one.
Never lost.
No, you've lost.
Oh, okay.
Lonzo Ball. Yeah, no, he's lost. Lonzo Ball is sick of getting tweets about Jason Tatum. The Celts keep winning in the NBA playoffs, and their rookie Jason Tatum keeps getting more attention and more credit. And Lakers' Lonzo Ball keeps getting reminded of it. Twitter user at LakersFan32 tweeted at Ball, "The Lakers should have drafted Tatum instead of you." Ball retweeted it with the caption, "You are not the first person to write this. Was it my decision?" Rodney, is that real or fake?
Wait, real that it happened or real that Alonzo replied?
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah, that whole family's got some rabbit ears, so I'm sure they hear everything, and they couldn't hold back from replying to that. But you got to believe that he's getting all kinds of tweets about Jason Tatum because he went ahead of Jason Tatum, especially like the Sixers, who traded up to get Markelle Fultz, who didn't even play.
Right.
Yeah, I'm gonna go real on that one.
You're going real.
I'm going real.
Sasha, what do you think?
You know, I was going to go real, too. So I think I'm going to say real.
You don't want to go the opposite?
I mean, okay, you know.
No, don't let him change your mind, Sasha.
I want to go opposite just for the competition.
Well, maybe you should.
Go okay, with, all right.
Oh, see?
It's all fake news.
Oh,
it's phony stuff.
You got one.
Yes, finally.
See how Fred cheats?
You wanted me to win. What can I say?
All right.
And I'm still never lost.
No, you occasionally.
Never lost.
No, you occasionally lost. Israeli soccer team renames itself after President Trump. Jerusalem's largest soccer team is honoring President Trump for his decision to move the U.S. embassy to the Israeli city. Beitar Jerusalem will now be known as Beitar Trump Jerusalem, according to a post on the team's official Facebook page. Sasha? Is that real or fake?
I'm going to go fake.
You're going fake?
Yeah.
You don't think anybody would do that?
No, I just don't see how that could ever be real.
All right, Rodney.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but he's become a rock star over there since moving that embassy to Jerusalem. They got names and buildings named after him now. There's people celebrating, so I wouldn't put it past the soccer team to do that as well. I'm going to go real on it.
Okay.
It's real, boy. It's real. It's real, boy.
I don't know how these are real.
Because they're so outrageous.
Yeah, wow.
Sometimes you're like, wow, that's real.
Okay. How about this one? Former NBA star Chris Bosh being sued by his mother, Frieda Bosh. According to the celebrity website The Blast, uncovered documents show that former Miami Heat forward Chris Bosh is being sued by his mother. Bosh has been trying to evict his mother from her home in DeSoto, Texas. Frieda alleges that Chris tricked her into signing the home over to himself in 2005 while she was in the middle of a divorce battle with his father. Chris Bosh suing his mother to get out of the house. Rodney, is that real or fake?
Wow. How do you sue your mom when you're, you know?
Check that. The mother is suing her son.
Oh.
I want to clear it up.
Whoa.
The mother is okay. Even worse.
Yeah.
I guess, but the mother is suing her son.
Yeah. You know, those family disputes are tough, man. And it involves the father too. So I wouldn't put it past her. I'm gonna go real on that. I'm going real.
Sasha, mom suing son, real or fake?
I'm gonna go fake. I don't think his mom would sue him. I don't know.
Okay. All right, Sasha. Well, that was a very good competition today.
Thank you.
Actually, Sasha, with all due respect, you pretty much got smoked.
I know. Yeah.
But there's good news.
Thanks for coming in.
There's good news. She's going to continue to be here.
Oh,
she will come in.
We're putting her to work.
I'll be back.
You'll be back, and we'll put you back on. Now, you understand how it works.
Yep.
And you'll be ready.
Oh, I'm ready.
It was a test
I'm ready
run.
To
it was
get
a, it was a test
get
run
my
today.
Revenge.
Well, it ain't happening, but it was a test run today, and it was okay.
Yeah, you were fine.
You know, you were fine.
I tried.
Hopefully it doesn't, ruin your day that you got beat down like this today.
Well, a little upsetting, but I think I'll be okay.
Good. Don't let it ruin your day.
And next time, Sasha, just watch me because I'll cheat and get you back into the game.
Thanks.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Okay, let's get back to the BJ's calls real quick here. In one word, describe the Dodgers situation. We have all these people on hold and we want to get to them. We appreciate it. John and Diamond Bar, you're on AM570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
My word is dumbfounded. We have a team in SoCal starting a series tonight to determine first place that has a two-time MVP having another MVP season. Dual threat, Shohei Ohtani, feeling you, Vic, transforming expectations every time he steps on the field. First ballot Hall of Famer, Albert Pujols. Oh, yeah, their manager played on the last team that the Dodgers won a World Series on. And you're still talking about the Dodgers?
Yes.
Ow.
All right. Nice take. Not going to win. Not going to win, but nice take. Let's go Irving in Los Angeles. Your name, 570 LA Sports.
I go with the word coaching. I believe the coaching is not being as what it should be. I do agree that, maybe they are meeting in the front office and maybe they're making decisions there, but I think a coach has to have a pair between his legs and sometimes call a different thing that they agreed on based on the feeling. I agree with Ronnie Pete. There's feelings that you need to have during the game and just go with that gut feeling. I don't think you should just be a puppet. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Irving. Thanks. We'll do one more now. Let's go Dylan in Los Angeles. You're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Okay. The word I'm talking... The word I'm thinking of is crestfallen.
Oh.
Crestfallen.
Yeah.
Crestfallen. The word I'm thinking of is crestfallen.
Crestfallen. Okay.
When I watch the Dodgers, I'm crestfallen, okay? Now, I'm thinking right now what they need to do is get Forsythe back tomorrow, Justin Turner back tomorrow, get fat off teams like the Marlins and stuff like that, kind of get back within striking distance, and when they're back healthy, make a stretch one at the end. I'm out.
All right. Good nice job, Dylan. If you're on hold... We're going to get you on in the next segment.
Yes.
We will do that. Also, I have to dispel something that was circulating online about the Dodgers. You may have seen it, and you may have gotten really excited about it. There's a story behind it. We'll explain it to you, and we'll tell you why it's not true. Stay there. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM570 LA Sports.
Yeah.
Coming up next hour. We're going to give you a situation. You tell us what you would do. Somebody says, I've had enough. I'm done. They're in a fight. You send them back out there for more punishment? If you do, you might send them to the hospital. And that's what happened over the weekend. On the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour question, in one word, describe the Dodgers. 2, 4, 6 of you are there. I'm going to get you all on before we break at the top of the hour. But there was something circulating online today. Don't know if you had a chance to see it. Now you may see it. Some renovation sketches of what Dodger Stadium is going to look like. When the All-Star Game was announced, Stan Kasten said, we are going to make some changes and do some things to the stadium. So these sketches came out today. And what it was, the center field area where the speakers are no longer exist. They're they're bleachers.
Oh.
Standing room only bleachers. And they actually look pretty cool.
So they're bleachers with like a bar, a couple bars in there.
Yeah,
a restaurant,
that's what it was.
Food.
And they were going to basically.
Oh. I thought they might put a like a swimming pool in there.
No,
like
that's only in Arizona. But they were going to enclose the stadium. So these sketches came out. And I thought, we need to talk about this. So I did some investigating. Here's the thing. That's not what they're going to do. That is an option, but probably not the option they're going to pick. And someone was doing a school project, apparently, and was at Dodger Stadium and took a picture of these renderings through a window. Now, in the room, there were six other plans, not just this one. But whoever was doing the project was able to kind of sneak around and take the picture and say, I got it. They don't necessarily have it. There are going to be some improvements to the stadium. But also keep this in mind. Since Guggenheim bought the team, Rodney, they've invested over $200 million. Yeah. And that's not public money. That's their money.
That's their own money into the stadium. Absolutely. And it's if you go to Dodger Stadium, it's how old Dodger Stadium is, you would think that you would walk into like the old Detroit Tiger Stadium or old Wrigley back in the day.
Yes.
But they've renovated to the point where it's still, I mean, it's older and it's certainly a majestic place, but it does have some modern feel to it, which they did a great job of not losing the integrity of Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, so that's the deal. If you see these renderings, these sketches, understand, because I saw them this morning and thought, well, there you go. This looks great. That doesn't mean that's what it is. But the important thing is that they're going to be doing more work at Dodger Stadium to enhance the experience for all fans. And Stan Kasten will let us know what that is when it's decided. But I was told unequivocally, they have not decided what they're going to do.
And center field is tricky because it has to be the sight line for the hitters. Has to be.
And that's why when I saw it, I thought, where's the sight line at?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Right.
But anyway, if you see them, now you know the story. All right, let's get through these as quickly as we can. One word. Ed in Chino Hills, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go.
The word is incompetent. Friedman hired the manager. He didn't re-sign Granke. He overvalued prospects and didn't bring in Colt Hamels. He lost our bullpen. He traded Willie Calhoun for Yu Darvish instead of Verlander. You want to be the best, you got to bring in the best. Theo Epstein, the curse breaker, before it's 100 years before we win another championship.
Appreciate it, Ed. Thanks. Let me say this, because now just give us the one word so we can get everybody in. Just give us your one word. But let me say this. You know, you can't go from a guy that built an incredible operation, and Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi have done that.
Yes, they have.
You may disagree, but let me tell you what, the proof's in the pudding. And those guys have really constructed a very good system.
100%.
You cannot go from being a genius to a complete boob. You can. It doesn't work that way.
And a month and a half.
You can't do that.
Of a season
so,
that just started.
Believe me, we understand the frustration, but you got to be realistic. So now the question is, how do they get out of it? That's what happens. Solomon in Lake Balboa, give us the one word. Go.
Damaged. You're playing with a MASH unit out there, man. You got half your starting three of your starting pitchers down. You lost two major relief pitchers. You got half your infield injured. When the Dodgers get healthy and they're not damaged, then we can make a better evaluation.
Appreciate it, Solomon. Thanks. Let's go. Let's go, Tony in Santa Clarita. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, Ronnie and Fred. The word is stale. The Dodgers have been in Arizona and California for 3 months. Now they're going to get some fresh air in Miami and Colorado, and the oxygen will do them good. And when Turner comes back, it'll freshen them up. And they need to bring in a minor leaguer who's a designated base stealer. They need a super fast kid to just run the bases and let go one of the relievers and have 13 players and 12 pitchers. Too many pitchers.
All right. Thanks for the call. Although, given the way the pitching's been, I don't think you can have too many pitchers. Ed in San Clemente, go.
Humbling is the word. After becoming just one game away from a World Series championship, they've lost to the faltering Cincinnati Reds in a sweep. They're flirting with last place in the National League West. They've gone from possible World Series champs to baseball's chumps. Humbling is the word.
All right. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. I'll give everybody credit because you have been exceptionally honest with your word.
Yes.
Manuel and Gardena, go ahead.
Great stuff with Bill Shaken, not stirred, the 007 of the LA Times. Rodney, love the commercials. Disappointing. Enough said.
All right, thanks.
Good take. Disappointing. I think that sums it up, too.
That was a good take. Bill Shaken is 007.
007.
Love your commercial.
Yes.
Disappointing.
Disappointing. If you're a Dodger fan, would you say the start of the season is what? Disappointing.
Yeah.
Good take.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Annoying.
Yeah.
Mentally destructive.
Perplexed.
Perplexed. Perturbed. Famished. Jim and Laverne, go ahead.
Hey, guys. My one word is Machado.
Ooh.
You got to make a trade. You have to make a trade now. Kershaw's not getting any younger. This team is not getting any younger. We're at the World Series. We gotta get this deal done. Hey, and like my granddad used to say, you can't win the West in May, but you can sure lose it in May.
Ooh.
I'm out.
All right. Ooh. Nice job.
You can lose it in May. Interesting. Yeah, it was Machado. Last year it was Darvish. Got to go get him. It's Darvish Verlander. We got the wrong guy.
Yep.
Is that what you're saying?
Well,
But they were everybody was happy. Oh, we got Darvish.
I was miserable.
Got Darvish.
I was miserable.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted Verlander too. I did. I really did. I thought his attitude, his savviness, has been there before. He's got a little, like we talk about, Fred, got that dog in him a little bit.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, that dog in
him. And that's what Darvish did not have.
Did not have that dog.
That was the difference. Yep. No question about it. Next hour, if you're in a situation where somebody is getting pummeled and they come over to you and say, I've had enough, would you send them back out there? Also next hour, one of the coolest things I think that has happened in a long time. Anthony Lynn, the coach of the Chargers, went back to college and got his degree. We'll talk to him about that. But Jason, who won BJ's today?
You know, Art in Ontario, I thought, had the best call of the day. Fred, what does he win?
A $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brew House, over 140 menu items, 50 craft beers, and the one-of-a-kind Pazookie dessert. You tell us, would you send somebody back into the fight when they said they've had enough? Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. A lot to get to this hour. Anthony Lynn, I think this is the coolest thing that has happened in some time. He didn't need a college education. He didn't need a college degree. He went to college. He never finished. But he wanted to make his mom proud. So he went back. The coach of the Chargers went back, completed his degree, and graduated over the weekend. We'll have the coach out to talk about it.
I love that. As you know, you talk about, and you know, nowadays people do a lot of talking but don't lead by example. He's a guy leading by example, not on the field because he's a coach and he tells guys what to do, but he's leading off the field, and how important it was for him to go back and get his degree, not only just for him but for his family, for his mom. I think it's a great story.
All right, Kevin, what's coming up at 1:30?
Fred, states now have the right to make gambling legal, sports gambling, in individual states. Is that a good call or a bad call? We'll discuss that. Save it, Rodney.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We ain't talking about it yet.
Oh, boo!
Later this hour.
All right.
Boo.
All right, so here's the dilemma. Don't know if you're a fan of the UFC or not. Over the weekend, Amanda Nunes and Raquel Pennington battle for the title. Nunes defending her title. Pennington stepping in. Nunes, by the way, used to train with the girl Pennington is involved with, engaged to. So they all kind of know each other. They're all friends right off the bat. But this is a battle, and the title is online. So they start the fight, and Nunes is completely and totally blasting her. I mean, that's the only way to look at it. She is absolutely dominating her. Pennington has a broken nose, has been knocked down many times, finds herself against the cage the majority of the night. I mean, she is taking a real beat down. They've completed the fourth round. And Pennington goes to the corner. And Tate, look, the only way Nunes was going to lose this fight is if Pennington somehow, some way came through with a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
You know, just clocked her. Otherwise, it's over already. So they go to the corner, and Pennington, you can hear her talking to her corner, says, I'm done. I mean, I'm done. She has taken enormous physical punishment. It's basically over. There's no reason to continue this thing. But she says, I'm done. And the corner man looks at her and says something to the effect, I know you're hurt. But you got to get back out there. you got to go. I mean, you just can't throw in the towel. So Pennington listens to the corner. These are the people she employs, the people that guide her, and she goes back out there. And what an incredible mistake that was, because she's already physically devastated, but she goes back because she doesn't want to throw in the towel, and then she is just pulverized. And finally, the referee jumps in and stops it. But all of the damage had been done. I mean, she took a severe beating. The question is, when she went over to her corner and said, I'm done, what should they have said, Rodney?
Well, I got a lot of emotions with this one. You know, first off, this is not basketball or football even or any other sport. This is MMA where, you know, you can get seriously hurt if you're hit in the wrong spot or right spot if you're the opponent. And when someone says they're done, they can't go, you have to listen to them when it comes to boxing or MMA, because there could be lasting effects to that person and brain damage or any kind of long-term effects when that happens. This is not like, you know, on Sunday, Rodney Hood said, I'm tired. Come on, I want to come out of the game because I'm winded. You know what I mean? This is not that where a coach says, you're winded. You know, get back in the game. He's not going to get his face broken or his ribs broken or have any kind of brain damage later on. This is a fight. And a woman says, I am done. She already had a broken nose. And she didn't want to continue. She couldn't continue. She knows her own body. She knew she couldn't continue. And so for her corner to push her back out there, to me, I know we had the one-word answers for BJ's this, you know, last hour, but to me, this was utterly disturbing that her corner would send her back out there. She should have threw in her own towel. She should have grabbed the towel and threw it in the ring and called it a day. If her corner didn't have her back like that, I would have those guys fired. They would not represent me. They would not train me ever again, because nobody knows your body like yourself. And she knew she couldn't continue. And that's obnoxious and disturbing that her corner would send her back out there.
In MMA, I guess the one thing you don't want to do is throw in the towel. You don't want to go that way.
Nobody wants to, right?
Right. So the coach is standing there, or the cornerman, and they're saying, you're a competitor, you get out there, and you go for it. By the way, Nunes, who won the fight, said it was disturbing, and that there's no way they should have sent her back out there, and that they should have realized that she had had enough. But I do think it really brings up kind of a dilemma, because as you point out in the NBA, you know, get out there. I'm winded. Yeah. Get out there. This is the NBA.
Fight through it, yeah.
Yeah, this is not sometimes get out there and somebody's going to kick you right in the face, right?
right.
This is not get out there and you're going to lose four teeth and break your nose and maybe be put in a coma.
Yeah, you may be, you know, a little exhausted, more exhausted if you go back out there in the NBA or even the NFL or hockey or baseball, whatever. But you're talking about somebody getting repeatedly hit in the head or the body, and you're talking about broken bones and broken noses and things like that. So this is a little bit different.
Well, Misha Tate said, now this is interesting, a competitor. She said that the corner for Pennington let her lose with dignity. In other words, there is dignity. And throwing in the towel is undignified. But going out and getting your brains beat in, apparently, is dignified. You didn't quit. And here's another competitor saying, but wait a minute. These guys didn't have her do something in an undignified way. She fought to the very end.
What are we in, like 120 BC? I mean, Jesus, we're in the Colosseum in Rome where, you know, there's a thumbs up, thumbs down. This is ridiculous. Yeah, lose with dignity. It's one thing to lose with dignity. But, you know your own body. You know if you can go or not. And it's one thing like, oh, my God, oh, finish strong. Finish that last mile if you're a runner. You know, you can do it. You can do it. It's another thing to be in an octagon and you can't keep your hands up. You can't defend yourself from getting kicked in the face or get hit in the ribs. It's totally different. Losing with dignity, that's absolutely ridiculous that she would make a statement like that.
Yeah, I just found it really an interesting situation. When I first saw it, then I saw some video of Pennington.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, oh, good God. I mean, she really took a beating.
And if you've ever watched, I mean, you've watched UFC or even boxing for that matter, you know when somebody's done and they're beating, you're just like waiting. Even you've seen those times where you're waiting for the ref to step in and, hey, just call this fight. This is over. This is ridiculous. And then, you know, they do have the refs go check the corners, the doctors go check the corners, but you got your corner. Your own people are telling you, you got a broken nose sitting there saying, I can't go. I can't go. And they're forcing you to go back for another round? And Miesha Tate talking about, oh, lose with dignity? No.
But
I want to lose, but I still want to have my faculties after I lost.
But see, that's the mindset. And that's what's interesting. It's the mindset. And I will guarantee you, there are as many people in the UFC that feel as Miesha Tate did as there are that feel as we do.
Yeah, no, I agree. There are a number of people because it's the modern day gladiators. As close as we can get. I mean, boxing is boxing. They use gloves and it's bigger gloves and you can't kick and you can't use all art forms. And MMA, which is so appealing to people because it is modern day gladiators fighting in the Roman Coliseum. And, you know, it's almost, you know, it's not quite to the death, but it is what we just are talking about now is like, unless you're on your deathbed, unless you're dying, you better get back out there and fight. And that's what it comes to, and it is. It's disturbing.
All right, coming up next, Anthony Lynn, the coach of the Chargers, will join us. He's a college graduate. Love this story. Coming up at 1:30, sports betting. Going to be legal everywhere now. Well, if the states decide to do it, and you better believe California's going to jump on that train. They want that tax money. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports.
And answer the phone. Somebody calls, you got to answer the phone. That's the only way we put the money, the grand, in your hand. I don't care who's calling. If you text to try to win, the only way you win is answering the phone.
All right, so if the phone rings, pick up the phone, especially if you text it in. Let's bring on now the man who is a recent college graduate, proving you're never too old to get smart. He's the coach of the Chargers, Anthony Lynn. Coach, thanks for being here.
Good to be here, fellas. You
know,
always.
And you know, we have a rule on this show, and now you have adhered to the rule. We only like to talk to college graduates. That's how we roll, Coach. Congratulations.
Well, I guess I've been breaking the rules. Then.
Yeah, you broke them a little, you know, a few times, but it's all good, man. How does it feel?
It feels good. Yeah, it feels really good, to be honest with you. You know, just to get that behind me and know that I've done it and finished and just keep it moving now. Next goal.
Hey, walk us through the journey you took to graduate college. And I actually think this is really a cool thing because a lot of times you find people that go, especially in sports, Coach, and they go a year, 2 years, and they're out and they never finish. What was the process and why was it so important for you to do this?
Well, you know, the process, I went to school at Texas Tech and good university, and I had over 100 credits. I needed like 6 to graduate in my profession, exercise sports science. And the problem is, back then you had to take the last 24 hours on campus, and you didn't have all this online classes, and you can graduate, you know, talk to these professors, do conference calls and things like that. And so I had every intention of going back, and I had a coach set me down, and it wasn't a mean conversation. He was trying to help me. He's like, look, you are an undrafted free agent. If you go back to school and if you're not here for this offseason, you're not going to make this football team. And I'm glad he told me that because I was definitely headed back to school, but I stayed and I ended up making a football team. And you know, years go by and I've kind of established myself. Well, now I feel like I can go back and I go back and my degree plan changes. And now instead of 6 hours, it's like 18 hours. Like, wow, you know, I didn't see that coming. And, you know, and so I didn't go back and finish. And I just, it always bothered me. And I just always wanted to. It just always seemed like the timing wasn't right. I was always too busy, you know. And, you know, football's always been number one for the most part in my life and other than my faith. But I just got to a point where I just said it's now or never, It really is. And I was putting it off. I've been putting it off. I started investigating and doing this in 2014 with the JD Consulting Company. And they said, okay, it's now time to go, coach. And I said, no, wait, I might be a head coach. I don't want to do it right now. And then 2016, coach, it's the time to go. No, let's wait. I might be a head coach. 2017, I just said, the hell with it. You know, I'm going to go do this and finish it, and then I become a head coach. You know, and but the good news is, the good thing about that was, you know, I had a chance to plan that whole summer, that spring for that summer, and for those classes. And then that 5 weeks, that vacation that we do have between June 16th and July 25th, you know, I had a lot of planning and research done in that 5 weeks before the season started. So, but this whole online process, it was just all new to me. I didn't know anything about it and how it worked. But if you're disciplined and you plan ahead and you have a really good academic advisor like I had, I mean, you can get it done online. And that's what I did.
Well, Coach, I would say this is, it's so impressive that you were able to get this done, because it's not easy. You're right. It's easy to put it off and put it off. I mean, I know so many guys that do that and say, I'm going back, and it's successful people, but that it means something. So for you to do that after your first year as head coach of the LA Chargers, man, it really says something about you. How important was it for you to do it for your mom?
That was really important, Rodney. It really was, because my mom never said a word when I didn't get my diploma, but I knew. You know,
yeah,
I knew.
Yeah.
And she knew. And when I gave it to her, first of all, I gave her a blank piece of paper. I actually thought I was going to get my diploma Saturday. You know, I didn't know they mailed it to you a month later. So I was a little shocked by that. But I gave it to her and told her when it came in the mail, I FedEx it to her. But, that, you know, that was the best Mother's Day for me. And just to give that to her, and she know that I – for her to know that I had completed it, and it was awesome.
College graduate and Chargers coach Anthony Lynn with us on AM570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete. I don't know this, Coach. Did you go to the ceremony?
I did.
Did you walk?
I walked, man.
No.
Oh, yeah, he had the cape. I saw the picture. He's in the crowd. He's got his cap and gown on, man.
That's right, man.
Saw it.
I had 3,000 classmates. I was there walking, man.
Oh, my God.
We were all out in the hallways hooping and hollering and high-fiving, and we went inside. It was a nice ceremony. They played some good music.
I love it. Then you got to go back and you got to focus on rookie camp, man.
So, exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
So talk about that a little bit. Talk about how it went. You know, you get these young kids in. You're trying to introduce them to your system. First of all, you know, stealing Derwin James at 17th pick was amazing to me. I thought you guys had to steal the draft in that situation. How did he look? And then talk about some of the other rookies and how they looked in the first few days.
You know, that rookie class looked good. They came, you know, they came in, they worked hard, and we have an outstanding coaching staff. You know, and we do our installs with these guys. We're excellent. They're excellent teachers, and we went out on the field, and I thought they caught on pretty quick. A lot of times you get a class in here and they're learning, and you really can't see them play fast. You can't evaluate them. It's just teaching peers. But you actually got a chance to evaluate these guys a little bit, because I think because of our schemes and our system, we allow guys to play fast. And they made some plays, man, some good competition. They did a good job of taking care of one another. And we got a pretty good eval on these guys.
You know, during the offseason, I would say that the Chargers have kind of flown under the radar. Other teams have maybe won the news conferences.
Nothing wrong with that.
Right, and that was my point.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm going. You guys were so solid, and if you talk to people around the league, they think that you have one of the best rosters in the league. Is it just now going about your business and continuing to do what you did at the end of last year?
Well, you know, time will tell if we have one of the best rosters in the league. And I'm not ready to go there, but I like our roster. I like our locker room. And well, we took our time because we wanted to get the right people. It wasn't necessarily, you know, the guys with the biggest names and the flashiest. Well, we just wanted to get the right people for this locker room. I did not want to disrupt the chemistry that we have on the coaching staff, the chemistry that we have in the locker room. And so I want to hit the ground running this year and hopefully finish where we left off.
No, you
talking. I mean, start where we left off.
Yeah, right. No, absolutely. Yeah. You just mentioned chemistry, and I know there was a lot of talk, you know, leading up to the draft. Phillip Rivers, he's getting older, and you're going to draft a quarterback. What's going to happen with that? But everybody talks about Brady and his longevity, Breeze and his longevity. But Phillip Rivers looks like a guy that can still play another 5 years. And certainly mentally he can do it. But even physically, the way he finished last year, and that's, I think, to me, that's kind of how you tell. You know, with a guy, you know, you go through a long grind of the season, but you finish strong means you got a lot left in the tank. And you guys are solid with that. Are you comfortable with that situation and people talking about, well, the Chargers should have drafted a quarterback to have that succession plan in place?
You know, we're not going to draft just any quarterback just so we can say we drafted a quarterback. You know, and then I kind of like the guys that we have on our roster, to be honest with you. I mean, Cordell Jones, he was only undefeated in college and won a national championship. He's a solid backup right now that's going to have a chance to compete with Geno Smith. You know, Geno Smith coming here right now, he's 72% completion rate coming out of college and, you know, had the highest quarterback rating of any quarterback in this draft this year. You know, and so we have some pretty good players on our roster right now. It's not like we need to go just draft a quarterback. But Phillip, he's a young 36, in my opinion, and that's credit to him. You know, the way he works and how he takes care of himself, he looks good. And you know, we have to be smart about how, you know, we use him throughout the offseason and during the season to keep him fresh and on top of his game. But he's a young 36, so I wasn't in a panic to go get a quarterback.
I like to think I'm a young guy too, Coach, but I got up and pulled a muscle just getting out of the chair. So I've got my own issues to deal with here. Hey, we appreciate you jumping on. And again, congratulations. And we're not minimizing that. That's a huge accomplishment. And the most important thing, you made your mom proud.
That's right. That's right, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks,
okay. Coach. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, Coach. There he goes. Anthony Lynn, the coach of the Chargers. That's so cool.
I love that.
And his mom was proud of him.
Yeah, that's a great story. Look, I remember my mom when I graduated from USC. She was my biggest fan growing up and always in the stands cheering on my sporting events. And but when I graduated from SC, that was her shining moment. That
sure.
was her deal. She was a teacher, so she was, you know, put a lot of stock into education and learning. So that was her proudest moment ever, was me graduating from USC.
All right, Vic, let's do this.
Come on.
Come on, Vic.
Come on.
It's time for good call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad call.
I may have to hang up on him.
All right, guys, is it a good call or a bad call for the Supreme Court to overturn their sports gambling ban? The U.S. Supreme Court voted 7-2 in favor of overturning a federal ban on sports gambling, which would allow individual states to determine whether or not they want to legalize sports gambling in their individual states. Is that a good call or a bad call for the future of sports in this country, Fred?
Is it a good call or a bad call for them to allow legalized sports gambling?
Yes, that is the question.
I think it's a fantastic call. And it was inevitable. You know, this is not 1953. Times have changed. People are gambling anyway. You're online. You're using apps right now. And I'm sure in overturning this, the states are going, we're going to lick our chops. We get our piece of the pie right now. In the state of California, they legalized the sale of weed. Why? Well, because they think it's okay. But moreover, they're going to generate an awful lot of tax revenue from that. By legalizing sports gambling, by allowing the state to control it, do you have any idea how much money they would be able to recoup in tax money? And look at it like this. I believe $4 billion was spent last year gambling. You don't think the state of California, the state of New Jersey, or Delaware wants a piece of that? 32 states, the minute that ruling came out, 32 states immediately said, you know, I think we're going to take a run at this. So I think it's a good call. The other side of it is, Kevin, in today's world, as people change, our world has changed. The world is no longer round, it's flat. And when people go to events, unlike when we were much younger, you'd go to see the game. Now you have people with multiple devices, two phones, maybe an iPad. And they're sitting there. The attention span watching an NBA game today is 50 minutes. The game is 2 hours and 15 minutes. 50 minutes. So what you want to do is try to keep people engaged. And if you allow them to gamble, good or bad, they're going to stay engaged. And I know the NBA has talked about allowing gambling during the game on an app. So coming out of a timeout, who do you think will take the shot? You can wager right there. I think it's a good call. If you make it legal, you somewhat clean up anything going on in the city underbelly. Make it legal. Good call.
How about you, Rodney?
Yeah, absolutely good call. I mean, it's inevitable. It's inevitable. It's where it's going. You know, to sit there with your blinders on and think that people are not gambling anyway, let's just open it up. Let's not be hypocritical and be blinded to the fact that people are doing it already. It's the same thing with legalizing marijuana. You know, it's about time that people get up with the times. This is not 1953, as Fred said. You know, it's happening. Let's regulate it. Let's have some sort of order to it. But it is happening. And the worst thing you don't want, I mean, the thing that you don't want to happen is that to continue to be a underground thing where it's illegal, it's shady, it's all those type of things. Let's make it out front. Let's make it legal. And Vegas and Nevada should not be the only state that can have this. It should be open to all 50 states if they want it. And I think it's a good call.
How about you, Vic?
Great job, Supreme Court. Alternative flows of revenue is what every state needs. There's the marijuana legalization. Now, sports gambling is kosher. It's a fabulous call. It's not just Vegas anymore. Offshore, forget about it. All the states are lining up, from Mississippi to Delaware to Jersey. Everyone's lining up to get their sports betting on. This is fabulous.
I understand why there'd be some concern, and I think it's somewhat disingenuous, because what you're saying is, by legalizing gambling, and at least the leagues are saying it, or have said it for some period of time, is that you're now compromising the integrity of the game. You have the points shaving scandal.
Right.
You have that. I'll tell you why that's disingenuous, because it's not about that as much as we want our piece of the pie. You don't think.
Yes.
You don't think that the NBA is going to jump right on this and say, you're going to bet on our games? Okay. Where's our cut? You're betting on what we are providing. You're, in essence, being entertained by our content. And we are the proprietors of our content. Therefore, we must share in the revenue. So I find it disingenuous when you hear the NFL going, oh, we'll never go for that. Let me assure you of something. When there's money to be made, they'll go for it.
Yeah.
And I saw that DraftKings actually said, we're getting into this business right away. And that tells you, when they launched those apps, DraftKings, that they knew what the future would be. They have the mechanism in place right now.
Oh, yeah.
Now they can capitalize
on it. I mean, they DraftKings, and what's the other one? There's another one that
FanDuel. FanDuel. DraftKings
are the ones that really should get a lot of credit, because they did it the right way. They set it up that people can, have the advantage of doing, it doesn't have to be locked into a full season. They can do it one game at a time, all that kind of stuff. But you're right, Fred, the integrity, the disingenuous attitude that people have had in terms of the leagues is absolutely ridiculous, because all they want is their piece of the pie. And if you think that, it was corrupt or whatever it was, it was more corrupt when it was illegal than it would be now that it's legal and they can regulate it and they can really, set it up in a way that everybody, it's all out in the open. It's out in the open now. So it's not underground. It's not in that back corner. It's not like you got to go see Sal in the old pizza joint. They got to put your bet in. You can go anywhere in every state. And so I think it's a great thing.
So there's no concern that a basketball player goes to the corner, leans over to his groupie and says, hey, I'm taking the next
shot. They're always that concern. It was that concern now.
What about that concern now? In that regard, and that's a fair point, but what about how long will the national anthem take? I always find that interesting.
You can bet on that too, and they can manipulate that very easily.
Well,
but they do it now.
And I'm singing.
Right, that's what I mean.
I'll tell you how long it's going to take.
No doubt. No doubt.
2 minutes and 48 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm on you guys' side.
But they do it now, Kevin.
You're right.
They just do it. It's like illegal now.
Right.
But they do it anyway.
They say just do it above board, and then everybody gets their cut.
Yeah.
The league is fat and happy.
I'm calling tails on the coin flip. You don't think? Oh, I just didn't say that. No, I'm just kidding.
You two-faced or something? You got a two-headed coin, brother? You got somebody to know about?
Yeah.
I'm calling tails, baby.
Good call or bad call for Major League Baseball to reduce the number of arbitration years and allow players to enter free agency earlier. Now, we had Bill Shaken on the show earlier in the show. Didn't really get too deep into this, but he had a conversation with Scott Boras in his latest article. And Boras, of course, the super agent who represents most of the heavy hitter players in the league. And there was issues of possible collusion and all that in the offseason as far as big name players not getting signed. Boras said the argument against signing players to big-term, long-term deals when they're older is just allowing them to become free agents earlier. So as opposed to teams having control over younger players after 6 years of service, they should reduce that to three. And at that point in time, you're compensating players, say, like Mike Trout, when he is 25 to age 35 or 20, you know, 32, as opposed to being, you know, 35, 37 years old, like Albert Pujols and making $45 million a year or whatever it may be. So is it a good call or a bad call for baseball to reduce the arbitration years and allow baseball players to enter free agency earlier than they are now, Rodney?
I think it's a great call to reduce the years. I think for a young kid to be locked in for as long as they are locked in right now is absolutely ridiculous. You have two great years, three great years, and you can't get rewarded, you know, for that. You know, you take a guy like Cody Bellinger, you take a guy like Mike Trout. Now, they did Mike Trout right, but he still probably didn't get what he probably could have gotten if he would have been a free agent and could have really gotten and tested the market. So, yeah, absolutely reduce it, because you're basically under the thumb of the organizations in Major League Baseball, and you have to continue to perform, even if you've done it 2 and 3 years. Cody Bellinger, another one. They should be able to lock him up, or he should be able to go out and be able to get what he's worth out there without the confines of being a part of this old agreement. It's just archaic to me.
Fred?
I think it's a great call for the players. I think it's a call that the owners will never want to make. Because what you've done is now you've screwed up your salary structure and your control of money. You're in essence paying people more money quicker. It makes sense to pay guys in their prime. It makes sense to pay guys for production. The way the system works now, and Scott Boras is correct, you're in essence paying guys for what they've done, not what they're going to do. So they kind of get that kick in at the end, the bonus for what you did, but they're not going to perform that way any longer. I think it's a really good call, and it makes a lot of sense. I'll tell you one thing, though. The players would love it, and the owners will fight tooth and nail against it.
Yeah, they will.
How about you, Vic?
Love it. Power to the players. Angels were lucky they didn't screw with the psyche of Mike Trout, who got screwed for years because he has been producing insane numbers since he got into the majors, and they paid him guts. So the Angels are lucky that Trout is such a good dude, All-American, natural-born killer.
Can you imagine if he made a stink about it? I mean, seriously.
He's going along with it so beautifully.
Yeah.
Never
if
bitching.
They didn't take care of him.
He doesn't bitch, Mike Trout. He just,
but if they didn't take care of him,
ball. He just plays
he
ball.
He could have made a big stink.
Oh, absolutely.
If they didn't take care of him, he wouldn't be there.
Yeah, Trout. Yeah. Trout.
He was up, he'd be gone.
Trout's a mensch. He's a prince. He's a Angels are lucky to have Trout in that mix.
And to your point, there's nobody to negotiate against. Who's to say if he was a free agent on the open market, other teams could have had competitive offers? Not that the Angels didn't compensate him well, but he could have made even more if he was actually a free agent.
Yep.
And they didn't have to buy out years of his arbitration left.
Right.
And that's good call, bad call, gentlemen.
Good call for you today, Kev. Okay. Appreciate it.
Way to go, Kev.
Come on. Thank you.
Petros and Money. Petros is back from vacation. We'll see if they wander in here. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports.